Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 16 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
The director of the Kentucky Folk Arts Center reacts to the governor's proposal to cut funding for the museum.
A Moorhead lawmaker is not happy about the governor's budget.
Kentucky's top health officials are supporting a new cigarette tax.
A new trial date has been set for Eric Kahn.
Rowan County has a new circuit court clerk.
In sports, Moorhead State men and women host a doubleheader tomorrow at Johnson Arena.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy tonight, lows around 11 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
The director of the Kentucky Folk Arts Center in Moorhead was not surprised to hear his facility was on the Governor Matt Bevin's chopping block. The governor announced cuts to 70 different programs and facilities across the state during his State of the Commonwealth speech Tuesday night in Frankfort. KFAC Director Matt Collinsworth says being a separate line item in the Moorhead State University budget made the facility more vulnerable.
When I heard the news last night, I wasn't shocked or surprised, and we'll see how things progress through the budget process and try and make decisions as we get more information.
Collinsworth says the Folk Arts Center has received widespread community support. The center has already lost 60% of their workforce in the last 2 years, leaving just two people to run the museum.
Kentucky House Minority Leader Rocky Adkins is upset that Governor Bevin's two-year budget proposal eliminates state funding for Moorhead State University's Kentucky Folk Arts Center. The Round County Democrat says the KFAC speaks to the key traditions of Eastern Kentuckians, and doing away with the facility's appropriation is an attack on their way of life.
The Folk Arts Center is something that's not only important to the Round County community, but it's important to our entire region, the entire Commonwealth, and throughout the nation. So that cut to the Kentucky Folk Arts Center is disturbing to me, and it's one that I hope we work through this process to basically get reinstated back into the budget.
MSU opened the Kentucky Folk Arts Center in 1985, featuring over 1,400 pieces of Appalachian art. The facility moved to the historic Union Grocery Building in downtown Moorhead in 1997. Moorhead State has budgeted just over $125,000 for the Folk Arts Center for fiscal year 2017-18.
Rowan County Superintendent Marvin Moore says Governor Bevin's proposed two-year budget will be tough on Kentucky's public schools. Even though it maintains SEEK, which provides K-12 education with its base funding, at its current level, Moore says money for things like transportation, preschool education, extended student services, and professional development are slated for 4.8% reductions. Moore hopes the legislature will save Kentucky's schools from those cuts, but he's not optimistic.
The problem we're going to be dealing with, both House and Senate, is controlled by the Republicans, and I think they're going to do everything they can to appease this governor, because it seems like here lately, everything he lays out, they try to support and try to convince the people that we can do all this stuff without additional revenue.
Moore believes it's critical that Kentucky legislature undertake tax reform during the current session in order to help provide the money needed for public education and other key public services.
A war of words is brewing over a medical marijuana bill in the Kentucky House. The bill in question is the product of Secretary of State Allison Lundergan Grimes' Medical Marijuana Task Force, a body that Governor Bevin has questions about. Bevin says he has no idea why she's taking on the issue or under what authority she created her task force.
I appreciate the effort. I don't know what she's doing or why she's doing it or under what authority. I wish she would just focus on actually being the Secretary of State. But, you know, again, it's a free country.
Grimes says she has no political reason for taking on the issue. She says Bevin campaigned on the issue to become governor.
There is a lot of support for a dollar a pack hike in Kentucky cigarette tax given to a legislative committee in Frankfort. Kentucky leads the nation in smoking-related deaths and youth smoking. A proposed $1 a pack hike would drop those numbers. The Senate Health and Welfare Committee heard testimony from Dr. Mark Evers at the McKay Cancer Center. Evers says there's nothing greater lawmakers could do than pass this tax hike.
So, Senators, I'm here to tell you that given this information, raising the tobacco tax by at least a dollar may be the single most important, significant policy measure you can take in your lifetimes, and certainly, as Dr. Chesney said, in my lifetime, to improve the health of Kentuckians.
The panel says the hike would generate $200 million a year in revenue and would also cut Medicaid health care cost.
A report on the real cost of smoking by the state has been released, and Kentucky is quite low. WMKY's Chaz Jenkins reports.
The personal finance website, WalletHub, conducted a report on the total amount of money the average smoker loses when they purchase tobacco. They ranked the categories from 1 to 25, with 1 being the lowest and 25 being the average. In Kentucky, out-of-pocket cost per smoker in 2017 was ranked fourth with over $88,000. Financial opportunity cost per smoker also ranked fourth with over $745,000. Healthcare cost per smoker was ranked second with over $118,000, while income loss per smoker was ranked fifth with over $182,000. Other cost per smoker was ranked fourth with over $9,000. The total cost over a smoker's lifetime was over $1,145,000, and the total cost per year per smoker was over $22,000. For WMKY News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Eric C. Kahn will face a judge again for the new charges he's facing after being on the run for several months. A federal judge set a June 11th trial for Kahn and alleged accomplice Curtis Lee Wyatt on a number of charges related to Kahn's alleged escape from home incarceration. Kahn removed his GPS monitor device last June while meeting with attorneys in Lexington and disappeared. He was arrested in December while dining at a Pizza Hut in Honduras. The other trial will take place nearly a year from now. U.S. Magistrate Judge Robert Weir found that Kahn's new public defender would need that much time to review the massive amount of evidence. He scheduled that trial for January 7, 2019. The escape trial is expected to take 3 days, while the conspiracy and fraud trial is expected to last 12. Kahn is currently serving a 12-year sentence for his guilty plea to theft and bribery charges.
Catlettsburg police captured the fourth and final escaped inmate from the Boyd County Jail. According to WSAZ, Thomas Bentley is in custody, according to Chief Cameron Logan. Ashland police made the arrest. Bentley was the only remaining inmate who was on the run. Deputies say he was arrested in the 100 block of Armco Boulevard after a short pursuit on foot. Austin Childers, Isaiah Baer, and Joseph Sawyers were all captured by January 7th. All four inmates escaped on December 28th. The men escaped through an air conditioning duct near their jail cells and made it to the roof, where they jumped down and took off from the jail. We'll have more local news for you after this quick break.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio, serving Moorhead and surrounding communities with WIVY at 96.3 FM. All the programming of WIVY, music, news, and Moorhead State University football and basketball are available worldwide on WIVYradio.com. Apps available for both your Apple and Android devices. WIVY proudly supports Moorhead State University and Moorhead State Public Radio.
Deputy Circuit Clerk Kim Barker-Tabor will be sworn in as Rowan County's new Circuit Clerk tomorrow. Tabor was appointed to the position on Tuesday after a two-week search to replace her father, Jim Barker, who retired at the end of December. Tabor says Circuit Judge Beth Mays could have made the appointment as soon as January 2nd.
Just to be fair to the other candidates that took the test and passed, she wanted to give them an opportunity to turn in their qualifications as well. So in the meantime, from January the 2nd until yesterday, Claudette Fadre from Bath County was appointed as our special interim circuit clerk until Judge Mays made her appointment.
Tabor has been working in the circuit clerk's office for 24 years and plans to run for the office in this year's election.
The Rowan County Attorney's Office is offering a free training for families dealing with drug addiction. The Casey's Law training will explain how families can get court-ordered rehabilitation for a loved one fighting drug or alcohol addiction. The training will take place January 25th at the Moorhead Conference Center. Ashley Adkins is a spokeswoman for the county attorney's office. She says a Pathways ASAP board was awarded the grant to help with addiction recovery.
A Casey's Law petition allows a loved one to petition the court for court-ordered rehab for drugs or alcohol for a friend, for a family member, coworker, so that they would be required to go to rehab. Everything is completely confidential. The hearings are confidential.
Adkins says the training will help those who attend learn about treatment options and resources that are available to them. To register for the free Casey's Law training, call 784-4640.
The Kentucky Gateway Museum Center has received a grant to help fund a program for youngsters. WMKY's Tilden Johnson has more.
According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, the museum has received $1,500 from the Kentucky Historical Society's Local History Fund, which was set up to help finance the preservation of Kentucky's history on the local level. This funding is going to help finance the museum's Scout program, which gives Mason County's as well as St. Patrick's fourth graders a first-hand look at the museum and how it works from the inside out. In two cycles, the Historical Society has granted over $31,000 to programs across the Commonwealth. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening region. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, lows around 1 degree, wind chill values as low as negative 10. Tomorrow, it'll be sunny, highs near 33 degrees, wind chill values as low as negative 12. Thursday night, clear, lows around 19. On Friday, it'll be sunny, highs near 43. That night, mostly clear, lows around 30. And on Saturday, partly sunny and warmer, highs up around 50 degrees. It's currently sitting at 16 degrees in Winchester as well as in Lexington. It's 18 right now in Maysville, 18 in Ashland, and 16 degrees here on the campus of Moorhead State University.
On our feature segment this afternoon, following another catastrophic pipe failure, the Martin County Water District recently announced it's over $800,000 in debt. The news does not come as a surprise to most residents. Benny Becker filed a very similar report with the West Virginia Public Radio's Inside Appalachia this time last year.
I wanted to get a sense of how many people in Martin County, Kentucky don't trust their tap water. So I went to a local supermarket and asked a clerk how much bottled water they sell.
Like, what percent of the people who you check out would you say buy water?
I'd say 75%, if not more.
Like many Martin County residents, Josie DeLong says she does all she can to avoid drinking from the tap.
We drink nothing but bottled water. I even put a bottle of water in my kids' bathroom when they brush their teeth.
DeLong says the water has long had an off-putting chemical smell.
Not something you want to be putting in your body, just by the odor of it.
The problems with Martin County's drinking water go way beyond a bothersome smell. The water intake pulls from a river that's heavily contaminated by sewage and by years of coal and gas extraction. Much of the water system hasn't been updated since 1968. The treatment plant needs serious upgrades, and the distribution pipes are so leaky that they consistently lose more water than they deliver. Without water pressure in the pipes, leaks become openings. Any kind of filth near a pipe can seep inside. When the system turns back on, the water can be brown or black, and a cause for health concerns.
I had really, really bad bleeding ulcers to the point where I was actually blacking out. So I go to my doctor. The first thing he tells me is contaminated water. How's your drinking water?
Martin County's water situation isn't unique. Many coalfield communities lack a reliable source of safe drinking water. These counties have produced millions of dollars in coal and gas, but little money was invested into water systems and other critical infrastructure. Now, Martin County is in a really tough situation. 40% of the county's residents live in poverty. Only 30% are in the workforce. This has been the situation for decades. In 1964, President Lyndon Johnson visited Martin County as he launched the War on Poverty. Here's how a government film described his visit.
The President and Mrs. Johnson board helicopters for a trip to the roots of Appalachian poverty in Martin County, Kentucky. Joblessness in the Inez area is attributable primarily to a general lack of industrialization and losses in the coal mining industry.
I mean, here's the thing about it. 1964, LBJ kicked off the War on Poverty. Here we are over 50 years later, and we can't even get decent drinking water.
That's Gary Ball, the editor of the local weekly newspaper, The Mountain Citizen. Ball has been reporting on the water system's struggles for years and has also reported on countless leaks and spills caused by the coal and gas industries. The biggest spill happened back in 2000, when a massive coal slurry pond broke through a mine shaft. Two creeks ran black with sludge, overflowing their banks by up to 7 feet. The kicker is, no one bothered to warn the people living at the water's edge. Here's one resident's reaction from the 2005 Apple Shop film, Sludge.
They didn't even send nobody down through here telling people. And they didn't know how much of it was going to come out. If it all come out, or even just half of it, hey, we wouldn't be standing here today.
Citizens today still complain that they're not getting the information they need to keep their families safe. At a recent public meeting about the county's drinking water, a lot of people were really angry that they hadn't been told when their water was getting cut off or had become unsafe. Here's the response Joe Hammond got when he started to explain how the water district handles boil water advisories.
The areas that are affected, you should get a phone call. Marcy, the office manager.
I'll cut you off right there. There was a line break on Collins Creek. Not nobody around town got the first call about a boiled water advisory.
I thought he was in the middle of something, and I wanted to hear that press.
I'm done with it. It was a lie.
Joe Hammond says the district has detailed plans for upgrading the water system, but it just doesn't have enough money to start work on major improvements. For now, the best they can do is try to patch more leaks, even though the old pipes really ought to be replaced. There's still a lot that needs to be done for the people of Martin County to regain trust in their leaders and in their water. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Benny Becker in Martin County, Kentucky.
It's 4:47 and 16 degrees here in Moorhead. I'm Leanne Akers, your Mountain Edition host, here with Arlo Barnett, and we're so glad that you've joined us on this Wednesday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the City of Moorhead, home to Moorhead State University, St. Clair Healthcare, Kentucky Folk Arts Center, and Moorhead Conference Center. The City of Moorhead supports efforts to encourage community livability, economic prosperity, and cultural outreach. Facebook and online at moorhead-ky.gov.
Doubleheader action. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Moorhead State's basketball teams are gearing up to face off with Jacksonville State tomorrow evening at Johnson Arena. The MSU women will have a 4 p.m. meeting with the Gamecocks. Coach Greg Todd-Ziggles are 4-2 in conference, and he says they can't let up if they want a shot at winning the OVC's regular season title.
We have to play every game, and Jacksonville State's probably playing maybe the second best of anybody in the league right now, and we got to deal with those guys Thursday.
Giving up less than 57 points a game, Jacksonville State's women are the OVC's best defensive team and have a 5-1 conference record. The MSU men will tip off their contest against Jacksonville State at 7 o'clock. Coming off of their first OVC victory of the season, a 71-67 win last Saturday at UT Martin, junior forward Lamontre Harris says the Eagles are ready to challenge the talented Gamecocks.
It's just give us confidence, you know, moving forward, letting us know that, that throughout the process and everything we've been going through, continue fighting and, you know, things will work out in our favor.
Jacksonville State won last year's OVC Tournament Championship. Their 4-2 league record includes a 7-point win over MSU a couple of weeks ago down in Alabama. Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari admits he's disappointed by the number 18 Wildcats' 76-68 loss last night at South Carolina. UK lost despite holding a 14-point lead with under 13.5 minutes to play. According to Calipari, the Cats suffered from unwarranted arrogance after they built their advantage, getting sloppy after they broke down and played as individuals instead of as a team.
We're not there yet. We got, hopefully, I hate to say it, you got to take some losses to get guys to start listening, but what also ends up happening in a game like this, individual players really look like they're not very good players. when you start realizing it, yeah, we're not very good, but you're not very good. You're hurting yourself. Let's get this right. So hopefully we'll move on from here and get this one right.
The 14-4 Cats will host Florida on Saturday. A real change to college basketball and football transfers could soon be coming. According to ESPN, NCAA officials are, quote, 95% certain that the organization will begin granting transfers immediate eligibility in both basketball and football, meaning that athletes will be able to transfer to a new school without being forced to sit out an entire season. Some reports suggest athletes will be allowed one transfer in their career without having to sit out if they have a GPA of 2.7 or higher. The proposal is being discussed at the NCAA conventions this afternoon in Indianapolis. The weather has played a big factor in high school basketball in the area over the past couple of weeks, with most 16th region games being canceled. The Round County girls team hopes to change that tomorrow, as they are scheduled to visit Bracken County. Head coach Ed Jones notes all of this time off is making his team rusty.
Today will make the second consecutive day that we haven't even been able to shoot or do anything. We haven't played a game since last Thursday. Tomorrow will make 7 days. And when we played Rayford, it was our first game in 13 days. So we've played 3 games in 20 days now. And to be honest, I mean, it's hard to come out and be smooth. It's hard to come out and get a lot accomplished. You know, we just want to get back on the floor.
Sean Thacker's Round boys are also scheduled for game action tomorrow at George Rogers Clark. However, both Jones and Thacker admit they will be surprised if those games are played. Another college official is taking extreme criticism from some Kentucky fans. According to ESPN, Pac-12 official Chris Cote and his crew have been harassed by Kentucky football fans since the December loss to Northwestern in the Music City Bowl, a game that received a lot of national attention due to the controversial ejection of Kentucky star running back Benny Snell. In the days following the game, reports say Cote received threatening calls to his cell and office phones, as did the Commercial Real Estate Association he belongs to. Last year, following a loss to North Carolina in the Elite Eight of the NCAA basketball tournament, referee John Higgins also received death threats from some Kentucky fans. The University of Kentucky has not commented on the report. Former Kentucky starting quarterback Stephen Johnson is not pursuing professional football options. Despite his stock rising last season and gaining some NFL interest, Johnson says he's not interested in those opportunities.
I am completely done with football. I really don't have the same desire and drive to kind of keep on playing, and then to have these surgeries on top of it. Really just kind of shut my body down from it. But more than likely, going to start working with the sports here at UK. Just kind of stay around it here.
That sound comes from WLAP. Johnson says due to in-season injuries, he will be having surgery on both his shoulders along with his left knee in the coming weeks. Johnson finished his UK career 9th in the program's history with over 4,000 passing yards despite playing only 2 seasons. The Cincinnati Bengals' new defensive coordinator is excited about rolling up his sleeves and getting to work. After recently being let go by Detroit after the Lions fired head coach Jim Caldwell, Terrell Austin says one thing you can count on is that he and Bengals head coach Marvin Lewis are already on the same page.
Marv, being a defensive guy, he understands what great defenses are. He's been a coach of great defenses. And so what I want to do is try to elevate our guys' play, help them elevate the play so that we can become a great defense and win a championship, because I think that's really what everybody gets into this game to do, is to win a championship.
Under Austin this past season, the Lions ranked 27th in the NFL in total defense, allowing an average of 23 points per game. And finally, in sports, Morehead State baseball coach Mike McGuire is happy about all the preseason accolades that his program is receiving. Not only did collegiate baseball recently pick MSU to win the OVC, but named slugger Nico Hosizer along with infielders Braxton Morris and Reed Leonard as preseason All-Americans. According to McGuire, that kind of publicity registers with the players that Morehead State is recruiting.
I think if they look at Morehead State and they do their homework, and they'll see that, not only are we putting guys, onto the professional level, but getting them, preseason, postseason accolades, et cetera, and notoriety, but we're winning a lot of ball games and competing for championships along the way, and that's what's really important to me.
The Baseball Eagles start their season on February the 16th against UMass Lowell in a tournament in South Carolina. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Eagle basketball will host Jacksonville State tonight. The women's game starts at 4 and the men tip off at 7. The men's game will be televised by the CBS Sports Network. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386. Online at msueagles.com. And that game is tomorrow.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks traded higher and finished at record levels following the release of stronger-than-expected quarterly results from some of the biggest U.S. companies, along with positive news from Apple. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 322.79 at 26,115.65. The S&P 500 was up 26.14 at 2802.56, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 74.59, finishing at 7298.28. In addition to these being record closes, this did mark the first time that the Dow Industrials finished above 26,000, and also this was the first time that the S&P 500 actually finished above the 2800 level. As mentioned, Apple had very positive news today as the company announced plans to repatriate virtually all of their overseas cash, which of course amounts to billions of dollars, and the stock was up 1.7%. In earnings news, Bank of America and U.S. Bancorp both posted adjusted quarterly earnings that surpassed analyst estimates. However, both stocks did finish lower during the session. So far, it has been a good earnings season. Of the S&P 500 companies that had reported as of today, 78% have surpassed earnings per share estimates, while 90% have beaten expectations for revenues. Juno Therapeutics was among your best performers today, as the stock was up over 50%. This after it was reported that the company is in talks to be acquired by Celgene. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.2%, finishing at $63.91 a barrel, while gold was down 0.6% at $1,329 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were down slightly, with the Stock 600 index down 0.1%. In Asia, stocks were mixed, as the Nikkei was down 0.3%, and the Shanghai Composite was up 0.25%. Among Dow Industrial stocks, your best performers were Boeing and IBM, while the worst performers were GE and Goldman Sachs. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Lam Research and Texas Instruments, and the worst performers were Ford and Fastenal. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down a penny at $72.54, CSX down 44 cents at $57.69, AEP up 75 cents at $68.25, AK Steel up 28 cents at $6.64, Marathon Petroleum up $1.20 at $71.98, and Community Trust Bank was up 20 cents to finish at $49.35. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Papa John's Pizza in the Patrick Center, Moorhead. Papa John's made-to-order specialty pizzas include spicy Italian, Tuscan 6-cheese, Mediterranean veggie, spinach Alfredo, and Hawaiian barbecue chicken. Side items include garlic parmesan breadsticks, cheese sticks, chicken wings, and poppers. Desserts include chocolate chip cookies and double chocolate chip brownies. For pickup or delivery in Moorhead and Rowan County, Papa John's can be reached at 784-3551. Or online at papajohns.com.
Turning once again to a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening region, tonight partly cloudy skies, lows around one solitary degree, wind chill values as low as negative 10. Tomorrow, sunny skies, highs near 33, wind chill values as low as negative 12. Tomorrow night, clear, lows around 19. On Friday, it'll be sunny, highs near 43 degrees. That night, mostly clear, lows around 30. And it'll continue warming into Saturday, partly sunny skies that Saturday with highs near 49 degrees. It's currently 18 here in Moorhead.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Moraz, Chaz Jenkins, Tilden Johnson, Peyton Stewart, Kinsey Thompson, Jack Cottle, Braxton Howard, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke filed a stock report, and our feature segment today came from West Virginia Public Radio's Benny Becker. Becker's report can be heard in its entirety at wvpublic.org. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.